This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan Chuang, and Wong Xiaoning. Does greater shareholder activism promote better corporate governance? Let us know on Twitter at BFM Radio. Right now we are at, with 70% over saying yes, it does promote better corporate governance. In the meantime, let's talk about Prime Minister of Pakistan's visit. Imran Khan was in town for 2 days during a working visit in Malaysia earlier this week, which included a meetup with Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad to discuss bilateral ties.
Yeah, that's interesting because obviously Imran Khan was very full of praise for Mahathir, Tun Mahathir, our Prime Minister, for having stood against India's crackdown on in Kashmir. And then, even then, despite an impasse in terms of palm oil imports by India from Malaysia, he stood his ground. So obviously Imran Khan, formerly of cricket legend fame, has basically found a very staunch ally in our Prime Minister.
Yeah, he also said that he's looking forward to attend the next KL summit, expressing sadness for having missed this year's one in December. Last year's one in December.
Yes, there was a bit of positive news. I think he couldn't make it and he's come here to make up for that a little bit. I don't know. But let's see whether he attends the next KL summit, because relationships are always a bit tricky, managing multiple nations at that. And for more on this, and in particular Malaysia-Pakistan bilateral relations with the whole South Asia dynamic, we have on the line with us Oh Ee Sun, Senior Fellow with the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Welcome to the show, Ee Sun. And how is Malaysia positioning itself in relations between India and Pakistan? Are we clearly siding with Pakistan at the expense of relations with India?
Well, it would appear that we are indeed doing so. You have to understand the Kashmir issue goes to the heart of both India and Pakistan. For both these countries, it's a question of sovereignty, of the national soul, or it is something which is very deep in their national psyche. So when Malaysia condemned India for its various acts in Kashmir, it will be seen by India as siding with Pakistan. And of course, Pakistan is very thankful of that. But when we held the KL summit last December, well, number one, why we held that summit is still up for grabs. I mean, I don't know why. But I think Imran Khan, under immense pressure from the power that be in the international Islamic leadership, decided not to come. So this is indeed, as you said, it's a make-up trip. Yeah.
And of course, Malaysia sided with Pakistan on the Kashmir issue on pain of losing considerable palm oil exports to India. I think the question really is, with Pakistan saying that it can now fill some of that gap, how much of that gap can be filled by Pakistan specifically? Because India is one of the biggest buyers of palm from Malaysia.
Yeah, indeed, India is one of the largest palm oil buyers from Malaysia. Well, Pakistan, I think, would need to work very hard on its own economic development before it could sort of step up as to, for example, purchasing more palm oil from Malaysia. You saw from this trip, for example, there were announcements of a few Malaysian investment in Pakistan. I think we are going to build some cars or something in Pakistan. So this is actually more needed by Pakistan than we needing Pakistan's help. So, I hope, those who go on to Pakistan to invest would have their returns. Let's see how it goes here.
And Ee Sun, how else does Malaysia benefit from relations with Pakistan?
Well, I think this country under the new administration, especially under Dr. Mahathir, once again would like to see its sort of foothold and footprint on the international stage. And by once again championing what, in his opinion, would be some of the major issues in the world, I think Dr. Mahathir would once again like to put Malaysia on the pedestal so that we are, in his view, the, some sort of a significant player on the international scene. But of course, when you do such things, there will be prices to pay. And the so-called non-buying of palm oil by India is one such price tag to be paid.
Yes, and in your opinion, how much of the warming of relationships between our two countries, Malaysia and Pakistan, are due to the personalities involved and not really necessarily the conditions involved?
Well, I think Imran Khan is, of course, a very attractive personality. When he became Prime Minister of Pakistan, even I have a lot of high hopes for him, even though I'm not a cricket fan, primarily because I think for those of us who are in the business of observing international affairs and so on, for us, it's very important for Pakistan not to sort of degenerate or descend further into number one, anarchy, and number two, some sort of religious theocracy. And, with his very cosmopolitan outlook, Imran Khan, of course, presents a very opposite sort of stance to that. So just like the international community was not unpleased when one of his predecessors, General Musharraf, came to power. So for us, this is he is a sort of a figure for secularism, the figure of making sure that Pakistan is an important fulcrum in the South Asian and Central South Asian big games or great games would not deteriorate. So in that sense, it is nice to cultivate some sort of a warming relationship with Pakistan. But of course, we juggle very carefully between India and Pakistan. Yeah.
So with that in mind, is there enough of an economic growth story here that we might see favorable Malaysia-Pakistan relations carry on past the tenures of these two leaders?
Economically, I think it's more like the Pakistanis are very hopeful that we will invest further in their country because the Pakistani economy, I mean, no blame to Imran Khan because he inherited an economy which was essentially in shambles. And as you know, when the economic situation is deteriorating, then of course it will become a warm bed or hot bed for extremism and terrorism and so on. So we should of course do our share in terms of assisting Pakistan to develop its economy. But to go beyond that, well, then we have to look at it very carefully, yeah.
Anyway, if we look a little wider, how is the rest of ASEAN positioning itself vis-à-vis India and Pakistan?
I think the rest of ASEAN is not really taking a very firm stance one way or the other, but that's just the nature of ASEAN. In most international matters, we maintain a very neutral stance, I mean, ASEAN. So Malaysia decided to sort of go out of its way in sort of condemning India. That, of course, would entail a price to be paid. Yeah.
All right, Isan, thank you so much for your thoughts this morning. That was Oi Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, commenting on whether this relationship with Pakistan will cost us in other ways. Everything here, the most of ASEAN seems to be more neutral about this. Malaysia, under the leadership of Tun Dr. Mahathir, has taken a more, taken a stance in here.
Well, I mean, from an economic perspective, you would want to side with the big boys, right? And India is a $2.8 trillion economy versus Pakistan's, which is a fraction of that. In some ways, you don't want to irk the big dog because then the big dog has a way of stamping on you. And in this case, it's particularly palm oil exports, right? If we don't find a buyer for our palm, what happens to it?
Well, just to also put in some numbers, I mean, for 2016, trade with India, Malaysia's trade with India was US $10.77 billion, while our trade with Pakistan was only half that, about $5 billion. So, and you know, it's only US $1.3 billion. So it's about 10% of what we do with India. So guess who's the bigger boy in the room?
Yeah, no question.
Yes, and with all that in mind, Isan's comments about the KL summit were also interesting, and how a certain foreign power in terms of in the Muslim world didn't want Imran Khan attending that, maybe legitimizing KL summit as another form of Islamic summit when it comes to Islamic nations. And we'll have to, I think that's something that we'll be paying attention more as we go on, and whether there is a KL summit part two. But in the meantime, we're heading into a few messages, and after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Wong Xiaoning will be speaking to Powerwell Holdings, a very interesting company that you should definitely tune into. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.